Back to books right now. My guest is either a genius or, quite frankly, she's completely and utterly start-raving bonkers. I think possibly a bit of the both. Chippy's Deborah Cox set up Little Ox Press to celebrate the power of children's books, the only difference being they're all written and illustrated by children. And Deborah joins me now. Morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Thank you for the introduction.
Is it, well, I was going to say, is that fair to say? You're a genius and, quite frankly, completely mad as well.
Well, thank you for both. I'll take both of them.
It's a compliment. I mean it in the best possible way. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
What? This starts somewhere. Did this start when you were a child, your love of books, your love of storytelling?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, when I grew up, my dad actually was Gandalf. me and my sisters had Gandalf reading The Hobbit to us and The Lord of the Rings, which was, as you can imagine, completely magical.
He
studied literature, English literature, and he passed on his love of literature to us, really. And I think when you're a child, connections with books, it's really a special connection. So when my own children started writing their own books when they were really little, they actually gave me the idea. Because I just thought they were writing really funny, quirky, original stories that were kind of more fun and interesting than some of the quite bland and kind of traditionally sweet children's stories that were published and I was having to read them over and over and over again. So, the whole idea for Little Ox Press was child-led from the beginning, really.
Yeah. Children have the best ideas, don't they? They really do. They notice things and they think about things and have these ideas that we just don't have when we're adults. We lose that sense of creativity.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think also a lot of the problem when you're doing creative writing is self-consciousness, and I think that a lot of writers have to work quite hard to get away from that self-consciousness and sort of regain what they had when they were really young.
Yeah, I think as well there are no boundaries for children. You know, as adults we might write about something, might think about a story, and then we think, well, that's not possible. That's completely impossible, so that can't happen in the story. Whereas children, they don't have those kind of boundaries. They make everything possible.
Exactly. They're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any logical sense. It's fun. I think the best poem that was submitted, and I don't think I'm just being kind of controversial here, was written by a 4-year-old.
Wow.
Do you want to hear it?
I was going to say, can you recite it? Do you remember? I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so this was by a little boy called William, aged 4. And it was just a short poem. He says, "A giant lives in a castle. He is a good giant. No one sees him but his mother and his children." That was it. I thought that was great. I thought this giant who lives all alone, but it's like kind of, he's good, but it's like no one understands him but his family. And
yeah, well, there's a future poet laureate, I think, there. for sure. But you know, when you actually start to think about the children's stories, it seems, you know, completely ludicrous that an adult should write a story for a child. And try, you know, when they try and sort of get into that mentality of a child and speak to children, it makes complete sense that children write for children.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you're agreeing, because yeah, at first I did. I thought it was an absolutely insane idea, because I thought I'm just going to get the most ridiculous stories that no one is ever going to buy or want to read. But actually, I mean, I shouldn't have been surprised, seeing as it was my idea. But I have been really surprised, because they're actually really good.
Yeah. And, so how does it work? Is it like a normal publishing house, as it were? You know, children submit their stories, and you know, you read them, and then you decide whether you want to publish them or not. How does it work?
Yeah. So basically, because a lot of the time I've been getting submissions over lockdown from parents who perhaps haven't really got as much time as they would normally, maybe I've been sort of getting attachments with illustrations and then Word documents with the story. Ideally, it would be just a question of the parents or the teachers getting the text and the illustrations together in one document, and then them making sure that it all looked good and turning it into a PDF. And then all I have to do is get it published and promoted. But in practice, I've been doing quite a lot of the proofreading, copy editing, book design, typesetting.
I suppose the difficult part of it all, though, is actually rejecting, you know, a 4, 5, 6-year-old's, you know, book and saying, actually, you know, it's not good enough at the moment. And that's the hard part. How do you sort of tiptoe around that, or don't you? You know, how do you handle that kind of rejection for a child?
There are certain sort of practical limitations which are quite easy to explain. Like, I cannot publish a book that is 2 pages long. It won't have a spine. Most of the rejections have been practical and along the lines of it needs to be longer. Mm. So that's often with the children's book, that is the case. They've written a story maybe that's 5 pages long, which is great for them, but it's impossible to create a book with a spine out of that. So a lot of it has been sort of writing back and saying, hey, have you got a sibling you can collaborate with and do a collection? Does your mum or dad want to contribute to it? Because it is supposed to be encouraging collaboration between generations. So if you've got a dad who's a great artist, maybe he wants to illustrate it, and that could kind of make it a bit longer. Or on the other hand, if it's an illustrator writing, and you could say, well, maybe your mum wants to write something with it. I kind of find ways around it. Yeah. For instance, we didn't have quite enough poems for a collection. We did some work with Charwell School, and there wasn't enough. So we made a competition, and we put the word out on Facebook. And we had, so we kind of just changed the collection so that it was for anybody to contribute to.
Yeah, well, we're going to hear from 7-year-old Orla right now from Oxford. This is very exciting for Orla. I mean, she's talking about her book that will be published later this year. Listen to this.
Chapter 4. At school, all the children sat down. People couldn't stop talking about Storm. Hog manager, and then these are the two superheroes. Straight. And then that's the girl's best friend. Mm-hmm. And then this is the doctor. I might make this castle like a little play house, and if you turned on the taps in the bathroom, hot melted chocolate would come out.
I want those taps. Hot melted chocolate. Yes, please, Deborah. See, that's again another example of, I mean, I'd never have thought of that.
No, me neither. I wish I had.
I'd have them installed. Yeah, exactly. The plumber right away. But it's lovely to hear that passion, isn't it? And actually that creativity in all of it. But what about the pandemic? What's the pandemic? What kind of impact has it had on Little Ox Press?
Well, actually, we launched on the day that the first virus case in Oxford was reported. So we literally started with the pandemic. So I don't really know what the business is like in any normal circumstances, but during this time, there have been a lot of people at home with children wanting something to do. They saw the BBC interview that came out on the web. They've written in, and I've had quite a few sort of grateful parents saying, oh, we needed something to do. So actually, it's become something, well, the whole business has kind of built itself in the pandemic. So yeah. It's sort of become this sort of supportive environment.
Well, if you can start and build a business through the pandemic, you can tackle absolutely everything. That's a fairly good, robust way to start a business. Thank you very much indeed. It's been lovely to talk to you. Do you have a website if people can find out more, if I can direct people, actually, if they've got a story that maybe they've done collaboratively during the past year with their children? How can they get involved and get it to you?
Yes, the website is littleoxpress.co.uk.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed. littleoxpress.co.uk. That's Deborah Cox, who set it all up.